chapter 7, starting at verse 18. This is the word of God. The disciples of John reported all these things, that is, the things that Jesus were doing to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. The poor have good news to preach to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing, and they live in luxury and are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. "To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist has come, eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come, eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." Thus far the word of the Lord, and may he bless it to us all. You may be seated. John the Baptist, or more precisely, John the Baptizer, is a major figure in the ministry of Jesus. He was the man chosen by God to be the herald of Jesus' coming. Indeed, John was the man who baptized Jesus. So Luke says a lot about John in his gospel. John was a bold and fearless prophet like Elijah, faithful to his calling despite opposition and physical danger. It was because he boldly, publicly called King Herod to repentance for his adultery that he was in prison. But even though John was a devout and a courageous man of faith, he had a problem. He had a dilemma. It's described in verses 18 to 20. Look at the text. The disciples of John reported all these things, that is, that Jesus was doing, to John. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And so the disciples came and put that question to Jesus from John. Why was John asking this question? It's because he was perplexed about two things. If Jesus is the promised one, the King of Israel, why are things in Israel still so messed up? And why is such a scoundrel as King Herod still in power? And why is he, that is John, the herald of Jesus, rotting in King Herod's prison? Do you get the picture? Please understand that John's problem is not that he doesn't believe in what he hears about Jesus. In fact, as John's messengers stood there waiting to speak to Jesus, we read that in that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. So John's problem is not because he doesn't believe. Rather, his problem is because he believes what he hears about Jesus, these things, that he is perplexed. I'd like to make an application right here. I think that pretty much everyone here can identify with John at some level. When was the last time you wondered, "I know that God is in control of all things, and I know that God is just and righteous and good. So how is it that our country is in the condition it's in? And how come I'm in the condition I'm in?" Your dilemma is not because you don't believe, but because you do believe. So I hope your ears are perked up to hear Jesus' answer to John. And it's given in verses 22 to 23. "Go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." So Jesus' answer involves, first of all, tell John what you've seen and heard. John's messengers had seen firsthand what Jesus is doing. They could testify to John, "It is indeed as you have heard. We have seen with our own eyes." Second, Jesus gave them the words to use to give their report to John for what they had seen. And he uses words right out of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 35 and 61. "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." John Calvin points out this very important factor that Jesus is citing what the prophet Isaiah had said centuries before in those two chapters, 35 and 61, because Isaiah was forecasting what the promised Messiah would do. And Jesus was doing those very things. He was displaying the power of God. But he wasn't doing it the way most people would expect. He wasn't going around doing astounding feats for the approval of the powerful elite of Israel. Instead, he went to the most helpless people. The blind, people who couldn't walk, who had to be carried about. The lame, lepers who couldn't even come near anyone because of their uncleanness, the deaf. Jesus ministered to the people who, as far as society in those days was concerned, were as good as dead. They were being raised to newness of life, and even some who were actually physically, literally dead were being raised. Last of all, though, and most of all, Jesus uses these words, "The poor have good news preached to them." The people on the bottom of society, for whom life was pretty much always bad news, were hearing good news from Jesus. And the good news is, the God of Israel has not forgotten you. He has come to them to comfort them with his presence and with his love, and to save them from their sins and from their afflictions. John's messenger saw all these things and went to report using Jesus' words from Isaiah. But there's more. Jesus said, "Tell John, blessed is the one who is not offended by me." What does that mean? Well, in fact, there were plenty of people who were very offended by Jesus, such as the scribes and the lawyers and the Pharisees. They represented religion gone bad. Spirituality degenerated into hypocrisy. They were very highly offended with Jesus, because Jesus was ministering to the sinners and the outcasts, which they should have been doing but weren't. And they were very highly offended that Jesus proclaimed the same good news to them that he proclaimed to the sinners and to the outcasts, implying that they too needed grace and mercy and forgiveness. Jesus simply was not the kind of Messiah that they expected or wanted. Others that were offended at Jesus included King Herod and his court and his followers. They represented the way of the worldly wise, the way of fashion and luxury and power and manipulation. And Jesus didn't even seek an audience with King Herod. He wasn't the kind of Messiah they expected or wanted. So Jesus encouraged John with these words. What Jesus said and explained why Israel was still so messed up, why Herod was still in power, and why John was in Herod's prison was because all of these people were offended at Jesus. He wasn't the kind of Messiah they expected or wanted. And the only thing that could change them, that could save them, is Jesus himself, who is exactly the kind of Messiah that they need. So Jesus' message to John is, your ministry and your suffering, John, are not in vain, nor is your own hope in vain. Jesus is indeed Israel's Messiah, John's Messiah, the true Redeemer and ruler of the whole world. The kingdom of God that Jesus announced has come. It is present. It is real. It is powerful. But it has not yet come to its complete fulfillment. And that's the second application I'd like to make. As we face our own perplexity, Jesus really is the incarnate Son of God. He really is the Messiah. He really is advancing the kingdom and overcoming all opposition. But it doesn't look like what people expect. And it's not yet complete. And that's because God is gracious and merciful and gives time for people and for nations to repent and to enter into the kingdom. And that's for us, as well as it was for John. And this word is for us, as well as it was for John. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. What it means is, trust in the Lord. This is all over the Bible. Think of the sufferings of Joseph, who was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt. God turned Joseph's sufferings into blessing for the salvation of the whole world from famine. Think of the sufferings of Abraham and how God made him the father not only of believing Israel, but also of many nations. Likewise, Moses, David, and the prophets. Most of all, the sufferings of Jesus himself, who became the most despised of Israel, whose body and blood were given for the sins and for the life of the world. Yes, blessed is the one who is not offended by Jesus. Now, after Jesus sent John's messengers back to him to go and encourage him with these words, he went on to commend John as a faithful prophet. He was no weak reed swaying in the wind, whichever way the wind happened to be blowing. He was not a part of the corrupted elite of Israel, either the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees or the worldly Herodians. John is a great man. In fact, the greatest born of women, Jesus said. But Jesus went on to say that he that is least in the kingdom of God is even greater than John. Because John was the last and the greatest of the old covenant, the old Israel that was passing away. Because Israel's Messiah has come and has inaugurated and initiated the new kingdom and the new world. All of this should be enough for John. He had proclaimed the coming of the king. Now he knew for absolute certain Jesus was that coming one. Now he understood that the kingdom had come, but it was just beginning. It was progressing. One day it would be brought to complete fulfillment in God's time. Meanwhile, John was not to be offended by Jesus. Jesus knew he was in prison. Jesus cared about John's sufferings, but it was a necessary part of the Father's plan, as were Jesus' own sufferings to come. The sufferings that were yet out of view for John, the sufferings that we look back upon because Jesus has completed his work. Now look at what Luke records next in verses 29 and 30. The response of the people, those who had been baptized by John said, "Yes, God is just. We are sinners. We are worthy of all condemnation. But God in his mercy sent his servant John, preaching the good news of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." And they had repented and they had been baptized by John. These were the people who, unlike the scribes and the Pharisees and the Herodians, believed the preaching of John. They were not offended at Jesus. You see, Jesus was causing a division in Israel, which he described in verses 31 to 35. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? He says they're like children sitting in a marketplace and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not weep." He says God sends John the Baptizer, who's as an ascetic. And they say, "This man is demonic." Then the Son of Man comes eating and drinking. And they say, "Look, he's a companion of sinners, of gluttons and drunkards." Jesus says, "Nevertheless, wisdom is justified by all her children." In other words, all the excuses that people throw up simply because they are offended by Jesus are of no avail. What it comes down to is the proud and the self-righteous and the worldly are offended by Jesus. They prefer teachers that tell them that they are good and wise and that they don't need a Savior. They mock Christians who trust and obey God. They say, "We're on the right side of history." We say, "Don't trust in dead men. Don't trust in dead men." All of those that you have listened to, every last man, jack of them, died and are in the grave. Rather, trust in the one preached by all the prophets, last and greatest of all, John. He is the one John preached, who has died and was raised and defeated death and therefore defeated sin. By his resurrection and by the preaching of the good news of forgiveness of sins, we receive forgiveness, resurrection, and new life even in the midst of present suffering. The kingdom of God has come. It is present. It is powerful. And it will be brought to completion and fulfillment. Therefore, look to the crucified and risen Jesus and trust in him. Let's respond to these applications of the word this morning by offering ourselves and our gifts to